Okay, we get into Malachim Beis Perek Yud Gimel, as we have the schus of discussing another Perek here in Tanakh in Malachim Beis. And what have we just discussed? We had the story of Yoash, the king, the little child king that became king when he was a child in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. He was saved. He was the only one that was left after David HaMelech's family was wiped out by the wicked queen. And Yehu, in the seventh year of Yehu, who had taken care of the house of Achav, Malach Yehoash, and he ruled for 40 years. And as we learned in the last Perek, he was positive and he was good until his Rebbe, the Yehoyada, had died, the Kohen Gadol, and then he started to do bad, and Aram started to take over, and he was killed. And there's no hint to it in the Psukim, but as we learned, in his day, under his command, Zechariah Hanavi, Zechariah, the son of his Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol, was murdered in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was taken care of, and his son Amatzia had taken over. So now we get back to the story of Malchei Yisrael. Remember, Yehu had destroyed all of the descendants of Achav, exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, but then he did not remove all of the Avodah Zarah, even though he got rid of the Baal, but Hashem told him, because you did good, Yana Tivosa, you will be Zochet to four generations of the Malchus, but after that, you will not be Zocha anymore. So this is the story of those descendants. So in the 23rd year of Yoash, the Navi tells us, Yehoachaz, the son of Yehu, was in was the king of Malchei Yisrael up north, and he did evil. Vayatzara b'nei Hashem, and he followed Yeravam, as the Navi describes so often. Hashem got angry and gave Malchei Yisrael into the hands of Aram, the Chazael, the king of Aram, and Hadad ben Chazael. And finally, Yehoachaz davened to Hashem, and he davened, please, please, save me, save me. Hashem sees that Bnei Yisrael, so many Shvatim, were going to be wiped out, and Hashem says, okay, I'm going to bring a Moshiach, but it's not going to be the Mefarshim say in his lifetime, but in the lifetime of his son, as we will see. But he did not do tshuva, clearly did not do tshuva, so he's still going to be punished for his deeds. Yehoachaz dies, and his son Yoash, not to be confused with Yehoash, who is Malchei Yehuda, takes over. And the Navi describes he also follows the lead of his forefathers, following the sins of Yerava ben Nevat, and he also dies, and the grandson, Yeravam, another Yeravam takes over, who is the fourth generation from Yehu. That's the first half of the Perek, describing just the fulfillment of the words of Yonah, the Navi, as he told Yehu that he will have four generations. But then we have Elisha. Elisha's last nace that he is going to fulfill, as we've had so many nisim that Elisha has done, depending on how you count it, about 16 or so. Elisha was sick in his final illness. Yoash, who was already recorded that he died, but now it's saying what happened before he died. He comes to Elisha and he cries in front of him, and Elisha says, okay, you are going to defeat Aram. Take an arrow, open the window, and shoot it towards the east. He puts his hand on him, and he shoots it towards the east, and he says, shoot it again. Shoots it again. And then Elisha says, take arrows and shoot them at the floor. So he takes a couple of arrows, three arrows, and he shoots it at the floor, and he stops. And Elisha says, why'd you stop? If you would have done 5, 6, you would have destroyed Aram totally. And now you're only going to hit him 3 times, and then they are going to be a thorn in your side again. That is the last miracle that Elisha forecasts in his lifetime, but then the Perek ends off with an unbelievable point. After Elisha dies, he is in his burial crypt, and there are some Jews that are burying someone, and there is a Gedud Moab, army of Moab moving through, and they quickly are scared, they want to run away, they quickly open up Elisha's kever, throw the body in, and the man, right when he touches Elisha's bones, he gets up, and there's Tchias HaMesim, and he walks Vayakam al-Raglav. We'll have to talk about that. And the parak ends off, though, V'chazo melech Aram, V'chazo al-Aram, pressured Israel all the days of Yehoachaz, and all the days of Yehoash, and all the days until they were totally destroyed, as we will, or went into Gullus, as we will see. Okay, but we'll see the fulfillment of Elisha's last nevuah of the 3 times that Yoash was going to be successful, but that'll be in the next parak. But here we have Parak Yud Gimel. Let's learn some fascinating inyanim that come up in our parak beneath the surface. So the parak starts off in the 23rd year of Yoash, ben Achazyahu, who was the king of Yehuda, who we learned in the last parak about, Melech Yehoachaz ben Yehu al Yisrael b'Shomron, the son of Yehu, was king. and he was an evil king. Vayasa Rabbein Hashem, the Malbim says, he was now a Rasha ben Rasha, so he was roy to have an onesh, and not to have any zechuyos in his malchus. Hashem gets very upset. Vayitnei biyad chazol melech Aram, he puts it into the hands of Aram, and in the hands of Ben-Hadad ben Chazoel kol hayamim, and even though he davids, he says, okay, I'm going to bring you a little bit of a Moshiach, but not in your lifetime, because you have left the Avodah Zarah. And here the Navi adds in Vagam Ha'ashera Amda B'Shomron. Even though earlier it had said that Yehu had just left the Bamos, but here it includes Ashera, which Pashas was left also in the times of Yehu as well, and now this is in the times of his son. There is a fascinating Meshachachma about what is so pernicious about Asherah, right? Asherah, the trees that used to be worshipped, and the Meshech Chachma is specifically relating to the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, Lo sita locha Asherah kol eitz, eitz al mizbach Hashem alokecha, asher tazaloch. Don't plant an Asherah next to the Mizbeach, right? That's why some suggest why the many nations over the past hundreds of years have planted trees on Har Habayis. There were so many trees there. Why are there so many trees there? Take off the trees. Don't they want more area? Because of this pasuk. They want to show that they're in charge, and therefore they plant a lot of trees next to the Mizbeach, next to the Makam HaMizbeach. In any case, the Meshech Chachma says, why is it so terrible to have Asherah next to the Mizbeach? So explains the Meshech Chachma, as we know, Karbanos don't really give a Kadosh Baruch Hu anything. Right? It's all for us. Hashem is unchanging. B'chol zos, no dalanu adavar, even though it says, lachmi li'ishai, no dalanu adavar mitzad amuskal, ki abore kol eno nizon me'uma. Hashem doesn't get fed, chas v'shalom. They know saboshim shleimus chalila mipu'ulos hanevram. He doesn't get completed with our actions. V'hu ba'atzmuso b'lo shinui k'mo sh'yaterim him si'an himself. Hashem is unchanged before the world was created and now. We don't really give him anything. V'kulam eskimu chini karbanos hu mufla derech sod. And that's why all of karbanos is a secret. But what we do know is that it's for us. Inyan chukim mafil pula nisgava benefesh haadam. Umosiv bo shleimus udvekus bisbono apula so. Ki kolzeh hayiroi lios al nafsho. We have to think, it says, if we were there, like the Ramban talks about in Perek Aleph of Vayikra, it's as if it's our blood, as if it's our flesh, etc. But Hashem is unchanged. And that's why he quotes Ben Azai, at the end of Maseches Menachos. Ben Azai says why throughout Karbanos, throughout the Parsha of Karbanos, it doesn't say Hashem's name of Kael or Elohim, which are names that reflect a connection to humans. But what name is used? Yudke Vavke, because that is Hayahove V'iyah. Hashem is independent. Hashem is not connected. And that is why explains the Meshech Chachma that the Mizbeach is made out of stone. Mizbach Avanim Taseli. Why? Because stone is unchanging. Just like the message that we're supposed to inculcate within ourselves about the Karbanos in general. Lehisponein, Kemosha Mizbeach, Malkam HaKarbanos. Hu Davar She'eino Nizon. Ve'eino tzarech l'mayim u'mazon, kein kol inyan ha'karbanos, hu lo l'sibas hazana v'atosvos b'shlemuso klal. Trees, they're given water, they grow. That's why dafka trees should not be next to the mizbeach, because that's exactly growth and accepting something from the outside. That's not the message of karbanos, and that is why lo sitoch ha'sheira kolet eitzel mizbeach Hashem alokecha. And he relates this also to the Sanhedrin, but not for now. So the Navi says here that in the days of the king Yehoahaz, the son of Yehu, right, the Asherahs were rampant in Am Yisrael, in the Jews, and they worshipped Asherahs, and that is why Hashem was very upset. Yehoahaz dies, and his son Yehoash takes over. He is king for 16 years. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ayasa Rabbeinu Hashem. He also follows the sins of his father and his grandfather and all of those who preceded him. And finally, he dies, and his son Yeravam, second Yeravam in the line, takes over. Vayaravam Yashav Al Kiso. Unusual phrase. Why doesn't it just say he became the king? It says he sat on his throne. Number one question. Number two question asks Rashi and the Radak, why does it say here, it records Yoash's death and Yeravam takes over, but it didn't finish telling the story of Yoash. The whole second next part of the parak is all about Yoash going to Elisha and crying to him and getting the promise of defeating Ammon at least a couple of times. So why does it stop in the middle? So Rashi and the Radak quote that maybe the point is the Navi does not want to have right next to Elisha's death Avodah Zarah. So we have in Pasuk Yud Aleph V'yasa hara b'nei Hashem. We don't want that to be the pasuk right before Elisha's about to die. So first it finishes off and says that Yoash died and Yerovam took over. And then it goes into the story of Elisha. One answer. If you look in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says, no, maybe the point is that the point of the first half of this parak is to show that the nevuah of Yonah became true. And there were four generations, even though Yeo didn't really deserve it, but four generations. So now four generations have been completed. That's why it doesn't even say he was the king. It's not interested in him, his becoming king yet, says Rabbi Yaakov. It just says, Yashav al Kiso, right? It says, Rotzela hadgish kiyim nevuah shel yashvu lecha al kisei mal Kisei Yisrael. It's alluding to that pasuk that was said back in Perek Yud, Yan asher hativose lasos ayasher beinai, kachol asher belvavi, because you wiped out the house of Achav as I asked you to, b'nei revaim yeshvu lecha al Kisei Yisrael. So it's alluding back to that pasuk, suggests Rabbi Yaakov. So that's why it has that here. Okay, the Elisha chala eschalyo asher yamuspo. Elisha gets sick, the sickness that he was going to die from. Sounds like mashma that there was other sicknesses. The Gemara in Sota, the Gemara in Sanhedrin say that Elisha got sick three times. He got sick, says the Gemara, Taner Rabbanan, Kuv Zayinim Abeis in Sanhedrin, Gimel Chalam Chala Elisha, Echad Shagira Dubin Betinokos. Remember the story when he had the bears attack the children who made fun of him, we discussed then what was so bad, they were making fun of him. The Echad Shadachol Gechazim B'Sheyadayim, and one after he pushed Gechazi away too hard, right, that's the Gemara that says, you should be small Dochev, Yimin Makareves, and he was Dochev B'Sheyadayim. The Echad Shemespo, and the third one was this one, Elisha Chala Es Chalyo. Point number one. Point number two, Chazal say, Elisha was the first one in history that got sick, and he got better from his sickness. Right, the first two sicknesses, right, he got sick, but he got better. Yaakov Avinu, Chazal tell us, was the first one who got sick before he died. And he davened to get sick, so he realizes that the end is coming. But Elisha was the first one that got sick, and was able to be nisrapeh from his sickness. That's what the Gemara says. Ad Elisha lo havi inish chalish de mispach. Right, he never was sick, and he became better. Vas Elisha ubar rachmi vispach. Elisha davened, and he was able to get better. Elisha shachala shachala shayamos va'ar pasik. Right, sounds like there were other sicknesses that he, as the Gemara just said earlier, that he got better from. The shaila is, but what do you mean? Nobody got better. So what about the pasik in Chumash? Varapo yirape. Hashem gives power to the doctors to heal. Right, Mikachin Nitna Rishus L'Rofi L'Rapos. Right, what about the Mishnayos in Psachim talk about the Sefer HaRefuos, assuming the Sefer HaRefuos was around for a long time, even before Chizkiyahu got rid of it. Right, so aren't there sicknesses earlier that people got healed from? Suggests Rabbi Yaakov, again here in our parak, Hainu L'Choli Machmas Maka, Velo La'adam Shechala Me'atzmo. He was the first one that got sick from Hashem and got better. If somebody gets wounded by a fellow man, okay, so people got better from that. But when somebody got sick from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Makabi De Hashamayim, this is the first one that got better. And this is already found in other Rishonim. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, Memhei, as we just quoted, Dever Bishmal Omever Apo Yerapei, meaning Akanchinit Nebrishis Lerofi Lerapos. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This is the license, the allowance for doctors to heal. Right? And the question is, why doesn't the Rambam quote that? The Rambam has a different source for healing of Ashivosalo. Batos is there in Baba Kama, Pehei asks, Vim Tomar, why doesn't it just say Meirapo? What do you mean, Rapo Yerapei? The Yesh Lomar, says Tosfos, if it just said one Lashon Refua, Tahava Amina Hanimili Makibidei Adam, I would have thought only Makibidei Adam is allowed to be healed. Aval Choli Ababidei Shamayim, Kishemerape, but if Hashem makes a person sick and I try to go heal him, Nireh Kisoser Gzeres HaMelech. It appears like Hashem wants it to be sick and I'm trying to make him better? Isn't that Kfira? Is that undermining what Hashem wants? That's why I might have thought that it's Asur. Kamash Balan Deshari. Kamash Balan. No, Hashem says, I made you sick, but I also gave you the medicine to get better. You don't understand why I'm doing this, but that is what I say. Right? That's the Tosfos in Baba Kama. And of course, related to this is the Ramban, famous Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai, where he says, at a time when Am Yisrael is governed by Nisim, and by Nevi'im, and by many other supernatural events, so then Bnei Yisrael shouldn't go to doctors. Right, in the context. You have to read the first line of the Ramban, which many sometimes don't focus on. Ki biyos Yisrael shleimim behem rabim. Lo yisnai ginyonam beteva klal. Lo begufam velo ba'artzam. Lo bechlalam velo beyachan mehem. Ad sheyelo yitztarchu lerofei ulehishtamer bederach midarkei refuos. Adorish Hashem ben avi lo yidrash berofim. But in a time period when we don't have a prophecy, we don't have miracles, everyone, all the Achronim, the Tzitz Eliezer, Ravad Yosef, and all the Achronim say the Ramban is not talking about not going to doctors, Chas V'Shalom. That's it's a chiv to go to doctors, Bizman Hazeh, and you have to go take care of yourself. Right, the Ramban has to be seen in that larger context. The Ramban says, and I, in that context, what about Mikachanitna Rishus Lerofi the Rapos? He says, Mikan, Lo Amrushanitna Rishus Lachola Lehis Rapos, Elakivan Shachalacholu Balis Rapos. Not that the patient is allowed to go to the doctor. Once he goes to the doctor has the chiyuv to heal him. But he shouldn't go in the first place if it is at a time of nevuah. But again, Bizman Hazeh. And Bizman, the past couple thousand years, all of the Rishonim and Achronim say that we need and there's a chiyuv to go. But at least in theory, conceptually, you have this idea of Cholu Biad Adam and Chola Bidei Shamayim, and that's what Rabbi Yaakov says is being referred to by the Gemara here, that Elisha was the first one to get sick Bidei Shamayim and then get better. Good. So now we continue the second half. The Elisha Chala Escholyo. Asher Yom Uspa. So Elisha gets sick. Vayeved alav Yoash ben Melech Yisrael. Yoash comes. Vayev kapanav. He's an Ovid of Arizara, but he can still cry when there's a tzara. When there's tzaras, right, there's no atheist in the foxhole, right, you always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a time when there's no choice. Vayomer, but he makes a shocking statement. He uses the same words that Elisha used to Elio when he went up in the chariot of fire. Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael uParashav. He says, my father, my father. It's unbelievable. The Mefarshim say, the Nitzos HaKedusha is in every Jew, no matter how far away. But Yomar LaElisha, and Elisha is touched by this, and therefore he forecasts an ace. Kach keshes v'chitzim, v'yikach alav keshes v'chitzim. Take a bow and arrows. Take them, v'yomar l'melech Yisrael, arkev yadcha l'keshes. Put your hand on the arrow. He pulls it back. Elisha says, Ptacha chalon kedma, open the window eastward towards Amon, v'yiftach, and he does. Elisha says, Yirei, shoot! Vayar and he shoots. Vayomer chetz teshua l'Hashem, v'chetz teshua ba'aram. V'kisa es aram ba'fekat kaleh, you are going to defeat Aram. What exactly is going on here with this charade with the arrows? So the Radak says, it's just to be maftiachim, it's to give him, why does he put his hand on the king? L'chazek libo l'ha'amin b'siman achitzim. T'im l'chazek him, that is what he does. But according to the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis, it is doing something very different. The Ramban, in the context of Ma'isa Avo Simon Labanim, his famous piece in Perek Yud Beis, Pasik Vav, in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Ramban says, Omer Lecha Klal Tavin Oso Bekola Parshios HaBaos, Be'inyin Avram Yisrael Yaakov. Let me tell you a klal about Sefer Bereishis. Ve'inyin Gadol is Kiru Arboseinu B'derek Katzara. Chazal mentioned it in short, but I'm going to mention it at length. Ve'amru, Kol Mashira La'avos Siman Labanim. Everything that happened to the Avos is a siman. V'lachen ya'arichu ha'ksuvim b'sipur ha'masa'os v'chafirasa b'eros v'shara mikrim. Goes through such detail with a lot of the Avos' lives. V'yachshov ha'choshev b'hem. Kiloim dvarim yutarim emoem to'eles. You might think, what's so important? V'kulam bo'em l'omod l'lamed ala asid. But they're all to teach us about the future. V'da. And then the Ramban adds, ki kog zeiras irin. Any decree. Any nevuah, kasher teitze mikoach gzeira el poal dilmion, whenever there is a physical act accompanying the nevuah, tia gzeira miskayemas al kopana, that makes it some type of a stronger nevuah. V'lachein, and therefore he says, yes, that's my salvasim labanim. But then he gives examples from Navi, right? The Ramban knew, Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Gimel. And therefore there are examples. Kimamar Yirmiyahu. First he quotes from Yirmiyahu. Shetziva Labarach Vehayek Chaloscha Legoros Divrei Sefer Hazeh Tikshar Lav Evan Veshlecheo Toch Pras. Right, we'll get to in the future in Yirmiyahu. Vechein Inyan Elisha Benichus Ro Ala Keshes. When Elisha puts his hand on the arrow, Vayomer Elisha Yero Vayor Vayomer Chetz Teshua Lashem Vechetz Teshua Baram. V'nemar, and then he gets angry. He quotes our psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechazek a nevuah through physical actions that are done. That's what's going on here. Not just to give him koach, like the Radak says. So, Elisha tells him to do this, and then he says, "Kach chitzim bayikach, take more chitzim and shoot him to the ground," and he shoots him at the ground. Elisha thought he would continue. He would just shoot him until he runs out of arrows, but he stops. If you would have done it 5 or 6 times, Hikizes Aram Kale, they would have been destroyed. Aram would have been finished forever. But you didn't. You only did 3, so you can only hit Aram 3 times. The Bir Chasidus quotes that maybe this is a remez that when we bang the Arava, it's got to be at least 5 times. At least 5 times. He said, if we would have done it 5 or 6 times, then you would have defeated. And we try to be Mamtik the Dinim by banging the Arava. So that's what he says. The Rabbanel asks, I don't understand this. What 5 or 6? First of all, like the Ramban says, okay, it's an illusion. But if Hashem wanted Bnei Yisrael to defeat Aram, so then even without any shooting of arrows, it would have worked. And if he wanted to defeat him through the Siman, so why didn't, when the Yehoram stopped, why didn't Elisha say, do more, do more? Why did he tell him to scream at him? The Abarbanel says, so do you sowed Gadol? He says, no. This was the last harass, so to speak, of Elisha. Elisha asks Hashem, just give me one more. Just give me one more, based on his feeling. He says, okay, I'll give you one more. But once the goodness starts, it has to build on something previously. It can be mamshechet. Like the Abarbanel says, by the earlier nace of Elisha, when the oil started pouring by the poor woman, he said, bring more kalim and just keep the kalim underneath. Right when the kalim run out, then you're going to have to stop the drip, then there's not going to be any more nace. So here too, as long as you're hitting, I can't ask Hashem again to restart. No, as long as you're going, it'll continue. It's as if, adds the Abarbanel, that Elisha's fighting the war. He has his hands out and he's fighting the war. And as long as it continues, he will be considered as if he's fighting the war. But once he puts his hand down, once the arrows stop, then that's it. It's finished. He can't do anymore. And therefore, once he stopped, that's why he got angry, because he wanted to defeat Elisha. Similar, some say, to Moshe Rabbeinu having his hands up by Amalek. As long as he has his hands up, it's continuing, and it's with his power that they are winning. Okay, we continue. Bayamas Elisha v'ikberu, so Elisha dies. Nothing more is said about it. They buried him, all is said, but Ugudu de Moav Yavo Baretz Bashana. Right after that, we have this amazing PS to his life. There was an army of Moab that was passing through, and Jews who were burying somebody got scared. They just threw, instead of just taking the time out to dig a kever, they just threw him into Elisha's burial plot, into the cave. And the pasuk says, "Vayelech vayiga ha'ish batzmos Elisha." Right when the bones touched Elisha, "Vayechi vayacham araglav." He got up, and this man was able to walk. So there is a machlokes in Chazal. Who was this man? Some say this man was revived. Even before we get to the two people who they were, maybe he was revived because of the promise. Remember that Elisha asked Elio, I want to be double like you. What does double mean? Chazal say to do 2 Tchias HaMesims. So Elisha and Elio both did 1. They both were Mechaya, a boy. But where was the double? So maybe this is the double. This is the second one. And if that's the reason, so one could say that the person who was revived was a tzaddik, was a great man. And that is one day in Chazal, in Pirkei Der Balazar, they quote, this was the husband of Chulda HaNeviah, who we haven't gotten to yet. Shalom ben Tikva, the Rada quotes it here at length. He was a tremendous Baal Chesed, he did Chesed to everyone. And Beschus HaSesed, he had one of the 7 Neviyos as his wife, and that's the one that Elisha was Mechaya even after his lifetime. Unbelievable. But there was another daya. Rashi and the Radakia quote another daya. It's based on the Rashi and Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin. And that is, this pasuk is a makar that the Gemara brings. Why? How do you know that Ein Kovrim Tzadik Eitzel Rasha? How do you know there are different burial plots? The original source is by Mises Bezdin. Skila Sreifa is not buried next to Herod Chenek, at least at the beginning, the first year. But also, Tzadik ben Rasha in general. So what's the source? So right here. It could be, suggests the Gemara, that the person who died was a Rasha, and he was thrown in. He's going to be lie there right next to Elisha. So Elisha made him alive again. Not really alive. It just says, Vayichi vayacham araglav. He was able to be alive to walk on his feet. But right when he got out, he died again. He wasn't alive for everything. No, he just walked on his feet, and then he died again. Because he was a Rasha, and he shouldn't be buried next to a great tzaddik like Elisha. Rashi in Sanhedrin Mem Zayin says maybe this Rasha was the false prophet that we had earlier that misled Edo back in Malachim Aleph Ido, the Navi, that was not supposed to come back and eat with anyone, and the Navi Sheker told him to come back and eat, and he caused Ido to be eaten by lions. Terrible, tragic story. And maybe Rashi says this was the Navi that Russia. So maybe he was a Russia, maybe he was a tzaddik, two different days. There's a lot to talk about in the sugya of Kfura, tzaddik ben Eitzel Russia, Rashi Eitzel tzaddik. There's a Sefer Hasidim, there's a mysterious story. There was a certain town that buried someone, and the next day everybody in the town had a dream that this man was saying, "You bury me right next to the bathroom, right next to the bathroom." And they go out, he's not next to the bathroom, he's buried next to another individual. But they put a wall of rocks next to the cavern, they didn't have the dream anymore. Okay, Sefer Chassidim in the O's Tuf Shin Hey. Just one other Ha'ara here, and that is Rabbi Yaakov. The Rabbi Yaakov Amnesky says here, usually we have a principle of Elu ve'elu divri lukim chayim. But it's hard to say that if there's a machlokes in Metzias. So this is a machlokes about who the person was that Elisha revived. So isn't that a machlokas in Metzias? It's hard to say Elu ve'elu. Suggests Rabbi Yaakov, no. Maybe it's a machlokas here in Sfarah too. Because, according to the Deya that says that he was a Rasha, so one second. So then Elisha didn't really do Tchias HaMesim. He just walked out and he died. So where do you see Elisha was Mechaya two people? So we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Maybe the point is that Elisha healed Naaman from Saras. Saras, Mitzora Chashav Kames. So that counted. So maybe that's the machlokas here. Whether their Tchias HaMesim of healing somebody from Saras is considered Tchias HaMesim or not. So maybe that's the Lomdish machlokes about Elu ve'Elu, and you could apply it even here. Either way, he gets up and he walks. The parak ends off by saying, Chazal, the king of Aram, pressured Yisrael all the day of Yehoahaz, and Bnei Yisrael were atatat about to be destroyed, but the pasuk says, Vayifen aleim l'man briso, Hashem saved us because of the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, Nun Hey, at least one of the Baalei HaTosfos there say, even if we don't have any more Schus Avos, we still have Bris Avos. We still have the promise that Hashem made, and therefore Hashem is going to save us. As we will see in the next parak, Hashem is going through the three times at least, through the help of Hashem, Yoash is going to be able to conquer the armies of Ammon. Okay, we'll stop here.